Hi, my name is Don Hahn. I'm the producer of Lion King and Beauty and the Beast, and you're listening to the Pixar podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
You can't rush art.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at
you. Because you're a clown!
Stranger from the outside.
Greeting.
You're not the queen. You don't smell like the queen.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
How do you feel?
Squirrel. I feel swell. In fact, I think I feel a song coming on.
Hey, good evening. How are you? How are you? Nice to see you. Hey, it's great to be here in your room. Where are you from?
All right. Well, hello there, Pixar fans. Welcome to another episode of the Pixar Podcast. This is episode number 108. ThePixarPodcast.com/108 is where you can find the show notes for this episode. I am Derek Clements. Very excited to be with you. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving and that you're excited to be in December. I can't believe it's the end of the year already. But on today's episode, we've got some news about some unfortunate developments at Pixar Pixar employees. And we've also got lots of other Pixar news. And also, I'm going to take on some articles that have been circulating around the website. So there's going to be conflict and intrigue on today's podcast episode. But first, a game. All right, that sound is the sound of a brand new app that I just got for my phone. It's called QuizUp. And it's a really fun app. You can play all kinds of trivia games, and you can compete with people that are playing simultaneously with you. It's got this very exciting music that I really like listening to. But yeah, so QuizUp, they have all kinds of trivias and all kinds of topics, including, of course, Pixar. And I have been progressively working up the ranks. I think I'm at like number 100 or something so far of Pixar experts. So this is an open challenge to everyone who'd like to play with me. QuizUp, and just find me on there. But yeah, it's pretty fun. I strongly recommend it. There's lots of interesting questions. Some of them are not always right, and so I'm frequently submitting some of them for corrections. But it's really fun. I really like this game, QuizUp. Thought we'd start the show with that. Of course, there will be trivia throughout this episode as we go between stories, and I'm going to test your knowledge of Pixar soundtracks. So that'll be fun. Stick around for that. But first, let's get right into our first story. And that is Pixar has laid off some more employees. This comes after the recent laying off of some employees from Pixar Canada, or the closing of Pixar Canada. And now less than 5% of Pixar's 1,200 employees have been let go in the wake of The Good Dinosaur being pushed back. So there will not be a Pixar film next year, and because there'll be this 18-month gap, they've had to let some people go. So I'm going to put up a link to a couple of articles from the Pixar Times talking about this story. It's very sad. The Pixar Times estimates from the LA Times numbers that about 60 employees are losing their jobs. So, that's very unfortunate. In the year 2001, as I was thinking about this, I want to kind of take us back to more than 10 years ago, when Monsters, Inc. came out, a year after Pixar had just moved into their brand new studio in Emeryville, California. Of course, they had been in Richmond, California, and it was quite a moving up in the world to go to Emeryville in the brand new studio where they are currently. But in that year, 2001, they reached a milestone, and that was that they had 600 employees at Pixar. I was thinking about that because now, of course, they have twice that many employees. And at those large numbers, unfortunately, these types of things are bound to happen, but it doesn't make it any less sad or unfortunate for those that were affected. We hope that, of course, those talented artists and technical people, we don't know exactly who was let go, but hopefully they will be able to find work elsewhere. And when the Good Dinosaur comes back into production, hopefully they'll have a job at Pixar again as well. Continuing from the Pixar Times story, they quote the LA Times, who then quoted a Pixar representative. This is what he said, or she. At Pixar, we are constantly reevaluating the creative and business needs of our studio. With the release date change of The Good Dinosaur, we have realigned our production and support priorities, which includes a small reduction in our staffing levels. So that's what they said to the LA Times. Then the Pixar Times writer Josh Spiegel wrote this this article, one of his Pixar Perspective columns. And he writes that in the wake of this sad news, quote, it will likely be remembered, 2013, that is, will likely be remembered as a low point for the studio creatively, if not financially. He talked about how their films, Pixar's films, continue to do well in the box office, and but he cites the layoffs of both here from Canada and here in Emeryville, and also he cites Planes, which was not a Pixar film, as a part of the evidence for this low point in the studio creatively. So this is one of the articles that I kind of want to take issue with. I find myself disagreeing with Mr. Spiegel here on this point. I don't think that this marks a low point for the studio creatively. In fact, my response to the news that The Good Dinosaur was being postponed was actually quite the opposite. It was the idea that, you know, Pixar was willing to push something farther back because it wasn't ready. They didn't want to make something that wasn't their high quality. And to me, that's a sign of creative juices and creative honesty and recognizing, you know, this isn't quite where we want it to be, so we'd rather take this hit. And unfortunately, there are all kinds of negative consequences. We're not going to get a Pixar film next year. That's really sad, creatively. It's also really, you know, especially it's really sad that because of this, there's not as much work for these other artists. So, of course, there's negative things going on, but I personally take this as a sign that, one, Pixar is a big company, and they got to do these types of things, as unfortunate as it is, but also that they're willing to push things forward if they're not quite ready. And to me, I take that as a sign of creative honesty. So let me know what you think. And of course, our condolences again go out to those that have lost their jobs, and we wish them the best of luck. But go ahead, let me know what you think about this story. ThePixarPodcast@gmail.com is where you can go. And now let's take our first break. And let me play for you some music. This comes from a Pixar film. You have to say what film it comes from. So those in the chat room, if you're at thepixarpodcast.com/live, you can chime in with your guesses. And those that are listening, you can scream into your computer, because I can hear you. I can. Just kidding, I can't. But go ahead and guess. Okay, here we go. Right. Well, welcome back to the Pixar Podcast. You're listening to episode 108, thepixarpodcast.com/108. I'm Derek Clements. Did you get it? Did you get what music that was? Of course, we like to start off easy here. That was hopefully an easy one. That one, of course, comes from my favorite Pixar film. It was, of course, Toy Story 2. So give yourself a point if you got that one right. Toy Story 2. I love that particular track, The Cleaner. One of my favorite scenes in that movie, and it really is carried from Randy Newman's great music in that scene. All right, we'll have a couple others as the episode goes on, but let's talk now about the next story, and that is a little bit sort of half Pixar and half something else. I want to play for you just a little brief second of the track that has now quickly climbed the ranks on my iTunes as one of my most listened to songs of all time. It's something that in the last week I've listened to basically on repeat. And there's actually a lot of great songs from this, but this is the one that has sort of grabbed me and captured my love and affection, and it's this.
Okay, can I just say something crazy?
I love crazy.
All my life has been a series of doors in my face, and then suddenly I bump into you.
I was thinking the same thing, because, like, I've been searching my whole life to find my own place. And maybe it's the party talking or the chocolate fondue.
But with you,
I found my place.
I see your face, and it's nothing like I've ever known before. Love is an open door.
So, of course, this comes from the recent Disney movie Frozen. And it's not a Pixar film, but there's been some Pixar references in the articles that's talking about Frozen that have come out in the week since this movie's come out last week. Of course, we actually will be doing a full review of this film next week's episode, the same time, actually at our normal time of 8. We'll be reviewing Frozen in a sort of full length way, but I really enjoyed it, and we'll talk about it more next week. That was, of course, Kristen Bell singing with Santino Fontana. I actually got to see Santino Fontana on Broadway this summer when I was in New York. He was amazing in the Broadway musical Cinderella, and now he's lending a voice for Frozen. Anyway, Frozen is a great film. As I said, we'll review it next week. Bring on a special guest to review that. But it's been interesting to see what's been going on with Frozen and Pixar, because as critics have been praising this film, they've been talking a lot about Pixar as well. And there have been articles about how the Pixar influence has seeped into Disney animation, making it even better than it was. Well, actually saving it from a kind of bad place that it was in before. The Wrap has an article called Buying Pixar Didn't Kill Disney Animation, It Saved It. And it has a quote from back when Disney bought Pixar in 2006. Bob Iger, Disney CEO Bob Iger, back then acknowledged that Disney animation was kind of weak. They were making some lame movies. And the quote back then to the New York Times was, he said, "I want to return Disney to greatness in the way..." And this was the way to do it fastest, to buy Pixar. So that was the goal, and it seems that has paid off. That's what these articles are saying, and I really agree with them. The Wrap continues to talk about how the acquisition of Pixar revitalized Disney's other animation divisions, and not just Disney feature animation, but also, I haven't seen the Tinkerbell movies, but for direct-to-video type things, I've heard good things about those films as well. So it's been cool to see John Lasseter kind of helping make Disney an even better place. Katie Rich at Cinema Blend took it even further and she had an article that posted called, and this is what she called it, "Hear Me Out, Disney Has Reclaimed the Animation Crown as Pixar Falls Behind." So I want to read actually a rather lengthy quote. Katie Rich does a great job in sort of thinking about these things, and she's a great writer. So I want to read to you some of what she says. Of course, I'll put up a link to her whole article at the show notes for this episode. So she says, "Lasseter expanded his role in the Disney hierarchy, hoping to revive a studio brand that had been sullied by tepid releases like Meet the Robinsons, Chicken Little, and Home of the Range. And why not? Emeryville was humming along in its own momentum as Pixar amazed audiences with bold, imaginative family stories like The Incredibles, The First Cars, Ratatouille, and WALL-E. Lasseter probably was content to let Pixar handle its business so he could go save Disney." And Katie Rich says, "Save Disney, he did. Not single-handedly, but Lasseter's shrewd storytelling tactics rescued Bolt, an infamously troubled project, and put the animation house back on track. Since 2008, Walt Disney Animation Studios has lined up the back-to-back successes of The Princess and the Frog, Tangled, A Tender Winnie the Pooh," and this is me jumping in here again. I agree. Winnie the Pooh is adorable, guys. If you haven't seen Winnie the Pooh yet, strongly recommend it. And continuing, she says, "and the infinitely imaginative Wreck-It Ralph. They were contending for Best Animated Feature Oscars, but losing to Pixar. And they were connecting with larger audiences. Animation normally performs well at the box office, but Tangled topped $200 million domestically, while Robinson's petered out at 97.8 million back in 2007. Audiences were responding to quality. And then later in the article, to the final part I'm going to read, she says, "I expect the baton to be passed to Pixar in time. These theatrical schedules are cyclical, and Pixar's too wondrous and too inspired to rest completely on its laurels and live in prequel/sequel land. But for the moment, it's clear that Walt Disney Animation Studios is working on a level Pixar used to own outright. And that's exciting for Disney, for the industry, and for audiences worldwide." So I love that article. I think she's a great writer, she brings up some really interesting points. This idea that it's really not about Pixar losing here. It's really about all of us winning, and the fact that back in the day, it used to just be the Pixar movie that was the main animation standout of every year, and it seems that now there's competition, and it's a good kind of competition. It's the kind of competition that means lots of great more movies for everyone around. So you can kind of take the cynical approach and say, oh, this means that Pixar has lost its touch. Or you can say, oh, Pixar is no longer winning all the Oscars. But if Pixar has good competition, I think everybody wins. So it's been really, really cool to see this. And as I said, Frozen will review next week on the podcast. Let me know what you thought of Frozen if you did see it. The Pixar podcast at gmail.com. And then the other article about this was from Hollywood Reporter. And that was an article called "Pixar versus Disney Animation, John Lasseter's Tricky Tug of War." And it goes into sort of how John Lasseter is stretched in both places. He's in Pixar, but as Katie Rich said, he kind of has left Pixar doing its thing as he went to go fix Disney Animation. So lots of cool stuff there to think about, and show notes will have those links. So let's have another quiz. This is the next song on our little journey. Hopefully this will be a little bit more challenging than that first one, but we'll see about that. What Pixar movie does this music come from? Welcome back to the Pixar Podcast. I'm Derek Clements. Did you get that music? It's one of my favorite tracks as well. Comes from the great Michael Giacchino. And the film is Ratatouille, the Wall Rat track. And one of the questions that I've been noticing on QuizUp, to bring that up again, one of the questions that I see a lot is what other Pixar film do you see Doug the dog from Up? Where else does he make a cameo? And the answer, of course, is Ratatouille. In that particular scene, you do see the shadow of Doug in that part. So anyway, I love that track from Michael Giacchino. It's one of my favorites. Congratulations if you got it right. All right, well, I said that I was going to take some umbrage with some articles to quote umbrage, to quote one of my other favorite podcasts. But this other article that I want to talk about, to be clear, I'm not taking umbrage with Katie Rich's. But this one I am, and it comes from Elle Magazine. I found it this week, and the article is, "Why Does Pixar Encourage Kids to Give Up on Their Dreams?" So it's a very it's a very catchy title, but I don't think that it amounts to what it is. I did enjoy reading this article, and it was interesting to think about, but I think it overstates it just a little bit. It talks about, of course, Monsters University as example of a story, and spoilers for Monsters University if you haven't seen it yet, where Mike, wants to be a scarer, but he ultimately realizes that he's not scary, and so he gives up on that. And then, but the article also cites Ratatouille, The idea that anyone can cook is, the article says, deceptive. The film's idea is that greatness can come from anywhere, even from the rodent population, not that anyone can become great. And then it also talks about The Incredibles, and its point is that by putting Syndrome as the villain, Syndrome, somebody without natural talent, natural superheroes, but just book smarts and the ability to make superheroes, that because he has that type of talent and not the inherent talent, Pixar's moral universe says that book smarts is villainous, not really a talent. So it's provocative, but the thing about this that is silly, I think, is Pixar does not, through these stories, Pixar doesn't encourage kids to give up on the dreams. I think what it does is it's very inspiring to see how there's real conflict in your dreams. And so many of the stories that we see, especially before Monsters University, are just about, sort of perpetuate this false idea that anything is always possible if you just want it enough, if you just try it enough. The thing that's compelling about Pixar stories is that they're a little bit closer to reality a lot of the times. But that doesn't mean that they're less inspiring or that they're less empowering to people, to kids. I've personally found Monsters University to be really empowering because it said, maybe what you have in mind is not what you will most enjoy. Maybe there's more that you will find out there that you will love. So anyway, I'll put up a link. You can decide for yourself if Pixar encourages kids to give up on their dreams. That comes from the Elle magazine. All right. Well, the next thing I want to talk about. I love these types of stories. In the Great Barrier Reef, recently, in the last week or so, a sea diver, a underwater sea diver guy, it was his first trip scuba diving, and he snapped this picture of a blue humphead wrasse. And it's a really great picture, and the headline says, "The fish that looks like something out of Finding Nemo." And it really does. The fish has this sort of big mouth, and it really looks like a cartoon character. Not a hugely significant Pixar story, but I thought it was pretty fun. So I'll put up a picture and a link to that article in the show notes for today. And let's take one more break. This one comes from another Pixar film. Your job is to guess which one. So let's see if you can do it. Welcome back to the Pixar Podcast. I'm Derek Clements. And that song, of course, comes from WALL-E, Thomas Newman's great score. The track is First Date. These are pretty easy today. Don't you think these are kind of easy? Am I being too easy? Hopefully the last one at the very end of the episode will not be as easy. But anyway, welcome back to the episode. We just got a couple more stories to talk about before the end. And that is, you can help some Pixar artists. I love highlighting the extracurricular work of Pixar artists on the Pixar Podcast. The first one I'll talk about, you only have a few more hours to do so. You have like a couple days if you're listening to this live. And that is that Austin Madison, one of the Pixar animators, has actually been on the podcast way back in the beginning of the show. He has been working, he did all the art for a brand new board game called Camp Grizzly. It's sort of a horror film based game, and so a little bit of viewer discretion advised. There's some gore in the sort of style of this stuff, but it's a new board game that's coming out, and they're trying to fund it on Kickstarter, and so we love our Pixar artists, we want to go support them. Happily, the campaign has already won their goal, but I'm sure they would not turn down some more help, and you can get some cool stuff for supporting them. So yeah, the game is Camp Grizzly, and it's on Kickstarter. You can check out their video and see the dark side of Pixar animators. And then the other thing from another Pixar animator is Angus McLean. He's a great artist and animator and on many of the Pixar films. Recently, he has been director of some great stuff. Toy Story of Terror from this year, and also the short Small Fry. He directed both of those. But many of us who follow his work online elsewhere also know that he is a huge Lego enthusiast. And he's done all kinds of great Lego things on his own, built really sophisticated, really great stuff with Legos. And now he has submitted a design for, the opening music leads us in, for WALL-E, a really adorable WALL-E Lego set. He has submitted for review through Lego Kusu. So you can actually go to the site and submit your support for this thing. He's already got more than 1,000 supporters, but if he gets enough, maybe Lego will make this set. And you have to check it out for yourself. It's really great. It's this adorable little WALL-E little guy. So I know that that Greg Mariotti, do it for him. Do it because we love him so much. I'm sure that he would love to get his hands on one of these. But yeah, it's really great. So we love when Pixar artists are doing fun things outside their normal stuff, and you can support them. All right, well, just as we finish up today, some really quick headlines. I'll put a link to all these final rapid-fire things on the website, thepixarpodcast.com/108. The first one is there is a calendar. It's sort of creative. This is a Blue Umbrella Making of Holiday Calendar. So every day of Advent, we've got another secret revealed of how they made the Blue Umbrella. So that's a sort of a fun thing. You can check that out. Also, Pixar is releasing a gorgeous Blu-ray box set that includes every Pixar film. It's 22 discs, and it comes in this really beautiful package, and I really want one of these things. So anyway, yeah, check this out. It's really, really cool, and it would make an amazing holiday present for anyone who you love that much, because you really do have to love them a lot in order to shell out the money for it. But it's a beautiful set. And then the last thing, there's a couple of new things from the founders of Pixar. Two of the founders of Pixar have been in the news lately. There was an article on a website with an interview with one of the co-founders of Pixar, Alvy Ray Smith. We don't hear too much of him because he's not with the studio anymore, but he had some cool things to say, so check that out. And also Ed Catmull, one of the founders of Pixar, and of course now the leader of Disney Animation and Pixar Animation, he is writing a book, and the book is about creativity, so you can check that out as well. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the episode, but let's just do one more little trivia game. See if you can guess this music. Hopefully it's the hardest one. What Pixar film does this come from? Here in the chat room, Nathaniel Hawk has gotten it right. That is, of course, A Bug's Life. It's the Bird Flies track written by Randy Newman. And there's a little bit of hint of that same track in Randy Newman's later stuff in Toy Story 3, which I thought was cool. Bug's Life. I thought that was a tricky one. Hopefully you did too, but apparently not tricky enough to really stump you. Thanks for tuning in to the Pixar podcast next week, or this week. Hopefully you'll also tune in next week. We'll be live at 8 p.m. Pacific time. That's December, let's see, what is that, 12th? December 12th, I think. Next Wednesday, the 11th, actually, December 11th. And we'll have a full review of the Pixar film Frozen. Now, I have one more announcement to make, and I actually may decide after I make this announcement that I'm going to cut this out. So only those listening live might actually hear this, but I might keep this in. I've been debating when I'm going to announce this. But the Pixar podcast will be coming to sort of an end. Well, I'll explain. It's been an amazing run to do the Pixar podcast for the last 3 years, and it's been really great to connect with all of you listeners and to meet some amazing Pixar artists and to discuss the ins and outs of the storytelling that Pixar does. It's been just truly amazing. I never expected it to be so amazing. I sort of expected the podcast to always be me in my closet among all my hanging clothes, recording, you know, into my own microphone, just to an audience of myself. But it's been great to connect with all you listeners. Now, as I sort of I'm graduating college and I'm looking at the next thing in life, and I've had some experience with radio, and I'm looking to have some more experience with radio. You may know this, but you may not. In addition to this stuff, I also have another show that I run, a live show here in Utah called The Porch. It's a storytelling show. A live storytelling show in the vein of The Moth. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be starting a new podcast all about the ins and outs of storytelling and really focusing on storytelling in a big way. It's called On Stories. There's already a website up, onstories.org, and there's also a Twitter feed at twitter.com/onstories. It's going to launch in January, and when it launches, that is when the Pixar podcast will be no more. So it's very sad. I thought really long and hard about whether I should do this, whether I should continue, maybe do both. But I decided in the end that the Pixar podcast will stand as an archive of some interviews. As I look back at how many interviews I've done with Pixar artists, it's way more than I realized. And so those will always be there, and you can listen to those, and hopefully new generations of listeners will find value out of those. But a similar thing will happen with On Stories. Every week there will be a new episode. Sometimes there'll be a story that is produced and performed, and other times there'll be an interview with storytellers. Maybe continuing from Pixar. I hope to continue my relationship with them and also expand to Disney and other companies. So this will be a podcast about stories and about storytellers, and I hope that you will continue to listen to that. So you will still be able to hear me every week, but it will no longer be in the Pixar podcast starting in January. So that's the latest news. Next week, December 11th, tune in for our review of Frozen. And then here's our final stretch as we wrap up December. These will be the final episodes. I feel like it's like the last season of Lost or something. We're in the final few episodes. This is the last part of Breaking Bad. You know, how is the Pixar podcast going to end? How are we going to go out? Well, hopefully some of you will continue to listen to the new show On Stories. Thanks so much for listening. It's been great. You're now caught up with all your Pixar news. You can get back to the rest of your life.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown on proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just my ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
It's got this kind of nice, burning, melty. It's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain, it's kind of like a... It's kind of like a boom, sap kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. All of it's gone. Bye-bye. Who's here?
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.